I'm going to take this opportunity to read in Revelation 16. The next several messages, maybe two or three, I'm going to deal with this chapter. The title of this message is Seven Vials of God's Wrath. Now, when we speak of God's wrath, it's something that is not pleasant, but is something of which we who know Christ, who are washed in His blood, scriptural language, who are clothed in His righteousness, we can be so thankful. Saved from the wrath to come. And we've talked about in Revelation how there are manifestations of God's wrath that have been going on and since the fall of man. And one of them that you can obviously think about in the past is the flood of Noah. That was a manifestation of God's wrath against sin. It wasn't the final wrath, but it was a manifestation of that wrath. And out of that mass of humanity, God chose Noah and his family and built that ark. Noah preached. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. I've had other preachers make light of me because I preach righteousness. And I said, well, I had one tell me, he said, all you do is preach righteousness. And I said, would you write that on my tombstone? Because if you preach Christ, you're preaching His righteousness. And that's what you need. And that's what I need. But every time a disaster comes, every time a sickness comes, every time, it is a manifestation of God's wrath. But now to the people of God who are not under that wrath, it is what we might call, and I think this is a good way to put it, what we might call a consequence of sin. Because, you know, all sickness, all of the what we call the bad things that happen on this earth to us and in front of us and around us, they're the consequences of sin. But what we can rejoice in is this. Sin cannot condemn God's people. Now, it can affect us. If you don't believe that, just like I said, you're getting older. I've had people say, well, they don't sin anymore. And I said, well, you're all right. You won't get any older. You won't get sick. You won't have nothing bad happen to you. That's not the way of it. This body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. And where are you going to find righteousness? In Christ. That's it. You may think you have righteousness in you, but you don't. We sing a hymn here, only a sinner saved by grace, only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. But here in chapter 16, this is the conclusion of the fifth vision in Revelation. We see these manifestations of God's wrath building to the end. Listen to what it says. Verse 1, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, seven ministers, go your ways and pour out the vials, or some translations say the bowls, doesn't matter, vessels that are filled up of the wrath of God upon the earth. The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped the image. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. It became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because Thou hast judged this. In other words, what he's saying there is that God is just. He's not being unfair. As I always say, the wrath of God is God's justice enacted. It's not God throwing a temper tantrum. It's not God losing his temper. It's not God gone awry. It's God's justice. And he says, Thou hast judged thus, for they have shed, verse 6, they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. They're getting what they deserve. I pray this all the time. Lord, do not give me what I deserve. Don't give me what I've earned. I want grace. That's what grace is, folks. It's God not giving you and me what we deserve or have earned. It's giving us freely what Christ has earned for us. And so he says, and I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. I'm going to conclude the reading there. We'll pick up with those verses. I don't know how far I'm going to get in this message. But what we see as manifestations of the wrath of God, do they have a physical application? Yes, to some degree. When you read through this, it kind of reminds you of the plagues that God sent on Egypt, doesn't it? Some of them. Turning water into blood. You remember when he turned the Nile River into blood? So there's some physical manifestations of these things. Some yet to come. But if you miss this, in each one of these manifestations of wrath, there is a spiritual application. And if you miss that, you've missed the whole crux of it. How do you know there's a spiritual application? We'll just look at the very first one. The first, verse 2, went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore. Now what that's talking about is an open wound that can't be healed. An open wound that can't be healed. And you know what that's a picture of? It's a picture of sin. Sin is a sickness unto death that cannot be healed by man, by religion. Brad knows this. When you get into the waters of baptism, those waters cannot wash you clean from your sin, can they? The only thing that can wash you clean from your sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what that pictures. This is a picture, a symbol. What Brad is doing, he's professing his faith in Christ and his blood to cleanse him from sin. And look what it says here. This grievous sore, this open wound that cannot be healed, it falls upon them who had the mark of the beast and who worshiped his image. Well, who has the mark of the beast? Well, that's talking about unbelievers who have sealed in their minds. That's what that sealed in the forehead and sealed on the hand. That the forehead is symbolic of the mind. And they have in their minds a false God, a false way of salvation. They don't believe in Christ. They don't believe in grace. They think they make the difference. And on their hands, that's their works, reaching for God by their works. That's the mark of the beast. And it's called 666 because it falls short of a perfection, of a perfected work, which is symbolized by seven. Six is the mark of man. And what is it about man by nature and by his works? He always comes short of the glory of God. And where is the glory of God? It's in Christ. I don't want to live and die as a six. I want to live and die as a seven. Well, how am I going to do that? I've got to be washed in his blood and clothed in his righteousness. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? Look at verse 1 again. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now these vials of wrath, they're going to build. Different manifestations of the wrath of God, but all according to his justice. And it's going to go all the way to the end of the world when the final wrath will come. And it'll have its culmination in what is called the Battle of Armageddon. Do you know what Armageddon is? I'm going to tell you, maybe next week. Maybe in a couple of weeks, but I'll get to that. I'll tell you this much, it's not a physical battle with guns and tanks and things like that. It's a spiritual battle. And the victory's already been won by the Lord Jesus Christ. So understand that. Let me give you these things. Verse 1, God's judgment's poured out. Let me give you five things here. Number 1, God is just in all his ways. Whatever God does is right. You understand that? It may not look right to us. It may seem unfair to us. But whatever God does is just. That's what he told Abraham. That's what Abraham said. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Romans 2 says God always judges according to truth. He's not like human judges now. Human judges can be crooked. Some human judges are just human and they make mistakes. Not God, the judge of all. So he's just in all his ways. Number 2, God's judgment are always according to truth. He never lies. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Number 3, the standard of judgment that God uses is always righteousness. And it's righteousness as revealed in and by Christ. Acts 17:31. You guys ought to be able to quote that with me. I quote it about every sermon. I quote it on TV all the time. Where God has commanded all men everywhere to repent because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, in that he hath given assurance unto all men and that he hath raised him from the dead. That's the standard. It's not what you've done. Oh, I better get busy and do more for God. Well, if you truly know God, I hope you get busy and do more for him, but that's not the standard of judgment. The standard of judgment is the perfection of the law, righteousness, that can only be found in Christ. Therefore, here's the fourth thing. The only way to escape wrath, to escape judgment, is to be found in Christ. Washed in his blood. What can wash away my sins? What's the answer? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You believe that? Not the waters of baptism. Not tears of remorse. Not reformations of life. The waters of baptism have their place. Tears of remorse and reformations of life have their place. But they cannot wash away even one sin. Only the blood of Christ. That's why he died, for his sheep. And that's who he died for now. He died for his sheep. He died for the elect. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died. Clothed in his righteousness. That's what the Bible calls righteousness imputed. If you don't know what that means, it means the merits of Christ's righteousness, the debt that he paid for my sins on the cross, is now charged to my account. My sin debt was charged to his account. His righteousness is charged to mine. So that I stand before God, whole, not able to be condemned because of a righteousness that I personally had no part in producing. It's all Christ. That's the heart of the gospel, folks. And fifthly, this applies to all who have been brought by God to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. I read it in the opening, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Didn't earn it, didn't deserve it, but you have it. It's a possession that you have because you have Christ. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Notice how these vile judgments in verse 1, they come out of the temple. What is the temple of God in the New Testament? It's the true church of the living God. It's not a building in Jerusalem. It's not a building that they're going to build someday. The dwelling place of God in the New Testament is His people. That's where the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, resides, in His people. That's what the Bible teaches. And this wrath coming out of that temple means it's related to the glory of God as the great high priest of His people. Christ is our great high priest. He's the only way. He's the only mediator. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. No other. We must acknowledge that they are all according to God's sovereign purpose and plan and ultimately intended to glorify God in Christ. Even these manifestations of wrath. We can see that in the salvation of a sinner. The Bible speaks of the glory of God's grace. He's glorious in mercy. He delights to show mercy. But make no mistake about it. His mercy is in Christ and nowhere else. This shows us also that each manifestation of God's wrath has a spiritual significance, teaching a lesson concerning man's sin and guilt, showing that men have no hope of salvation in themselves or in this fallen, sinful world. You can fight for peace on earth, and that's a good thing to fight for. But it's not going to work. And you're going to fail. You can fight to clean up the air and the water. And I'm all for that. But that's not my salvation. You can get religion. You can get baptized. As one old preacher from West Virginia said, you can get ducked so many times that the tadpoles know you by your first name. But that's not going to save you. No hope of salvation in ourselves or our works. Our only hope is to turn to the Lord. That's what these manifestations of God's wrath, it's a message. Flee from the wrath to come. Well, where do I flee to? Flee to Christ. Look at verse 2. The first went and poured out his vial. This is the pouring out of the judgment. Remember the trumpet judgments, that was an announcement of wrath. The vile judgments are the pouring out of his wrath. And it says, upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore, an open wound that cannot be healed only by man. The only way that that open wound can be healed, that sin can be healed, that sin sickness, is by the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. And upon men which had the mark of the beast, that's an unbeliever. That's what that is. False religion. False gospels. False doctrine. Remember what Paul wrote in Galatians 1? If we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be anathema. Another gospel. And there's a lot of other gospels. That's the mark of the beast. And upon them which worshipped his image. It's idolatry. Do you know, to believe a false gospel of salvation by the works and the wills of men, do you know what that is? That's idolatry. That's worshiping the image of the beast. That beast that come out of the sea, which represents false ungodly governments, and the one that comes up out of the land, which represents false religion. Ask yourself this question. Who is the God of this Bible? What are your thoughts of this God? Your thoughts, do they come from His Word? Or do they come from what somebody's told you? I've told you about this. I was up in Huntington, West Virginia one time. And where we parked, there was a big, big, huge church. And they had a sign out front. And the sign said this. It said, "The God who hates, we do not believe in Him." Well, what does the Bible say about that? Well, the Bible says God hates all workers of iniquity. The Bible says the God of the Bible does hate. But His hatred is not like ours. Our hatred is sinful. When we hate people. Now, not all hatred is sinful. We hate all false ways, for example. That's righteous indignation. But God's hatred is simply His justice against sin. It's a perfect hatred. It's a righteous indignation. You say, well, it says God hates all workers of iniquity. Well, what's our hope then? To be found before God not being a worker of iniquity. Well, how can I? I'm a sinner. You're sinners. How can we be found before God and not be counted as workers of iniquity? One way. Again. I keep saying it, to be found in Christ, washed clean from all our sins, clothed in His righteousness. So those who worship the beast, their God is an idol. Look at verse 3. Here's the second angel pouring out his vial upon the sea. The sea means the world, all nations. And it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. You remember, as I mentioned before, that blood symbolizes two things. Blood symbolizes life. The life is in the blood. And death. The shedding of blood means death. The blood of Christ. What does that refer to? That refers to His death on the cross as the substitute of His people. There is life everlasting in the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. But without Christ, there's nothing but death. Your blood will not get the job done. Your blood has no saving power. You can die for a cause, a good cause, but it will not save you. But the death of Christ, now listen to me, saves all for whom He died and arose again. Life everlasting. But here it describes people who do not know and believe in Christ. Every living soul died in the sea, that turned to blood. And goes on here in verse 4. Here's the third angel. Poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Now this is a good reminder of Moses in Egypt withstanding Pharaoh and the Nile River. You know, the Nile River in Egypt, that was the lifeblood of Egypt. That Nile River dried up. There was no life in Egypt. It was prey. And you remember when Pharaoh went and poured out water from the Nile River, and then it turned into blood. God turned it into blood through Moses. Moses turned water into blood. Now, water is life, the Word of God, the Word of life. You remember when Christ was on the cross and they stuck a spear in His side and out came blood and water? Somebody asked me, what's the significance of that? Well, blood means death. Water means life. From His death comes life, everlasting for His people. Moses turned water into blood. Christ turned water into wine. You know what wine symbolized? Joy, the joy of the Spirit. Sinners looking to Christ. You remember the Passover in Egypt? He told them to take a lamb of the first year without spot, slay that lamb and catch the blood and put it over the doorpost. And God said what? He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Well, Christ is that Passover lamb, isn't he? He's the Lamb of God, which bears away the sins of the world. God's people all over this world, Jew and Gentile, whatever nation, whatever race, whatever gender, God saves his people. And that water symbolizes the word of God, the washing of the water by the word. Out of Christ's side comes blood and water, blood, death, water, life. What does the Bible say? Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll be filled. How are you going to be filled? By looking to Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then look at verses 5 through 7. We'll conclude with this on this message and pick up there next week, Lord willing. What he's saying in these next three verses is that in all of this manifestation of wrath, God is just in pouring out these vials. Because think about this. We all deserve and have earned the wrath of God. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. I've had people tell me, they say, well, I'm not perfect, but I've never done anything to deserve hell. I say, well, you don't know the Bible. You don't know what God requires. I'm telling you, the Bible says this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But what? The gift of God is eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. He doesn't say the wages of sin is death, but the wages of goodness is life. No. Salvation's a gift. Righteousness is a gift. Read Romans chapter 5. Forgiveness is a gift. He that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us what we don't deserve, what we haven't earned, all things in Christ. One of the things when this Holy Spirit comes in the new birth to give a dead sinner life, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12 says this. You know what he teaches us? One of the many things he teaches us from the Word of God, the things that are freely given. Freely, unconditionally, without a cause. And what does that mean? He gives us things we don't deserve and haven't earned. That's what he teaches. And what are those things? All of salvation with all of its blessings and all of its benefits. So, look at verse 5. I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous. God, you're just, O Lord. You're right. Which art and wast and shall be. That's the God of this universe. The God who suspends all time. Because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints, that's the people of God, and the prophets, that's the ministers of God. They told the truth, and men by nature hate the light because it exposes even their religious deeds as being evil. And thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy, they're getting what they deserve. Oh, Lord, don't give me what I deserve. That's, remember. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Never let it be said. And you can read about this in Romans chapter 9. Never let it be said that God is unjust or unfair or unrighteous or untrue. Whatever he does is right. And it's right because he does it. And so, my friend, what is our hope? Flee from the wrath to come. flee to Christ. Okay.